It's Inauguration Day in the city of Milwaukee, where Mayor Cavalier Johnson was re-elected to a second term in office with more than 80% of the vote. This will be the mayor's first full term in office, having previously won a special election in 2022 after the resignation of former Mayor Tom Barrett. Mayor Johnson has an ambitious outlook for the city of Milwaukee, which he shares with Lake Effect's Joy Powers. A note to listeners, this interview has been edited for time. You can find the full, unedited interview at WUWM.com.
Reflecting on your, you know, relatively short term in office, what are the biggest lessons that you've learned?
The biggest lessons that I've learned are that this job as mayor of Milwaukee, the largest and most diverse and economically consequential community in the state of Wisconsin, a city in which roughly 1 in 10 Wisconsinites live, it's a big job. And I knew that going in. I had served in the mayor's office beforehand for some time, but it's a difficult, complicated, complex, but very rewarding job, and it presents the opportunity to make an impact on the lives of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that call the city of Milwaukee home. And I appreciate that, and having the ability and the trust of voters, my constituents in the city of Milwaukee, to go about that business. And one thing that I have learned and had to learn really quickly here is that there are a lot of things that are within the mayor's control, but there are a lot of things that are outside of the mayor's control. And I have to, as mayor, understand the political reality on the ground in order to get the ball moving forward for the citizens that I serve in Milwaukee.
I think that's something a lot of people who start to become engaged in politics realize, where they go, you know, there are all of these issues and we place them on the shoulders of really every politician who we meet, and yet they don't necessarily have the kind of control that we hope that they do.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. I mean, for instance, as it relates to an issue like, you know, public safety and access to guns, let's just say, I'm of the belief that there are certain people out there who should not have their hands on a gun, right? Whether you're a known criminal, if you're a domestic abuser, you know, folks like that, you shouldn't have your hands on a gun. However, that may be my wish, but that's not within my power. The city of Milwaukee, local governments generally in this state, we don't control gun law. That's a state and federal level responsibility. But when somebody takes out a gun, one of these people, again, who shouldn't have their hands on a gun, in my opinion, and they hurt somebody or at worst kill somebody, then, you know, generally people are looking at me. Even though that's not within my power to control. So that's just one of many examples of things that I would like to have an impact on, and certainly I advocate for changes on. But at the end of the day, that responsibility lies elsewhere. And the only thing that I can do is try to advocate for changes and hope and trust and try to will folks at other levels of government to make those changes that folks in my city want to see.
It's interesting, during your time in office, there has been this kind of interplay between both the city, the county, and the state, and really these questions around home rule. What do we have power over here in the city of Milwaukee? Act 12, of course, was a landmark piece of legislation that I know you had a hand in. Mm-hmm. And while it did give the city more control over its revenue, it also came with a lot of strings attached. When it was announced, there was talk of the city challenging some of the provisions that were specific to the city of Milwaukee. What happened to that?
Well, you're right. Act 12 did present an incredible opportunity. I mean, the first time in literally decades where we were in a position to address some of the financial challenges that we faced in the city of Milwaukee. I mean, before I took office, there had been attempts by administrations in the past to rectify what we knew was going to come, which was this doomsday scenario in which we didn't have enough revenue coming in to support the services that we deliver to our constituents on a daily basis. And so what I mean by that is that the shared revenue program, which goes back to 1911, when we all go out and pay our sales taxes, when we purchase something, those sales tax revenues go to the state. The state's supposed to divvy those dollars up and send them back in an equitable way to local governments from which they came. That wasn't happening anymore. That sort of fell apart some decades ago because we were not getting that support. It put us in a position where we had to continually make cuts, and sometimes these cuts that I disagree with and don't want to see in terms of like public safety, for instance. But we had to in order to keep our city budgets afloat. So Act 12 presented an opportunity for us to address that situation, allowing the city of Milwaukee to raise a sales tax, which we were probably one of the largest cities in America that didn't have the ability to do that, and then also increase shared revenue for the first time, again, in decades. So it's a great accomplishment. It didn't solve every single piece of our financial problems that we faced here, but it certainly put us in a stronger position than we were in before. Now, there were other provisions in the bill that I certainly disagreed with and didn't want to see. However, at the same time, and I think that I just mentioned this in a meeting that I had just earlier this morning with an older person, you have to understand the political reality on the ground. Like, if I want to move the ball forward for Milwaukee, and the legislature is made up the way that it is, and that's not my particular desire for the legislature to have the composition that it does, but that's what it is right now. Right. And I have to work within those confines in order to make sure that we're in the best position possible. So there were talks of doing things like that. I'm interested in looking at and have been interested in looking at, what, sort of oversteps or overreaches may have happened there. However, at the same time, we struck a deal that put us in a stronger position with the doors that were open to us in Madison. And so, I'm happy with what we're able to accomplish at that time. Are there things I would love to change? Absolutely, there are things I love to change.
Is this something you foresee working on with the new city attorney, Goyke?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I had the opportunity to meet with the city attorney-elect, Evan Goyke, just this morning, actually, just before coming here to Lake Effect. And I think he's going to be an outstanding city attorney, an incredible breath of fresh air. And that office is critical to city government operations and helping us to move the city forward. And to have a partner in the city attorney's office like the city attorney-elect, Evan Goyke, coming in and putting fresh eyes on the problems that we've encountered over the last number of years out of that office, I think puts us in a much stronger position than we were in before. And like I said, if there's opportunities to get some changes out of those things, which I've mentioned broadly in the negotiating room in Madison with legislators, and even in conversations since then, that there are things that I did not agree to, or that I did not want to happen, rather. But you had to understand the political reality on the ground and not put the city in a situation where, as of January 1 this year, had we done nothing, that roughly half of our police department would have been let go. A quarter of our fire department would have been gone. That all of our libraries would have been shuttered, and hundreds of other city employees would have been let go from their jobs. And that is not the service delivery that my constituents who live in the city of Milwaukee deserve. It's not the service that our daily commuters who come in each and every single day for work or entertainment in the city deserve. It's not the service that some of the most iconic businesses in the state of Wisconsin that happen to call the city of Milwaukee home. They don't want to see that. And roughly a quarter of all visitors to our state, they interface with Wisconsin by coming here to Milwaukee, and they should have those services as well.
Now, in light of the restrictions on how these funds are used, It seems like there's not a lot of areas. You mentioned, of course, a couple of them where they can be used, mm-hmm. but there aren't a lot of areas where we can actually use these new funds. So what are your plans for the new funds that are coming into the city?
Sure. So in our conversations with the legislature, I mean, they aligned with areas that I was interested in doing already anyway. And that was, I mean, now, naturally, I'd like to have the most flexibility, right? Because cities, much like at home, right, if you have expendable dollars, if you have more money coming in, you should be in a position as the, you know, the mother or the father, or the parent, the fiscal steward of your home life to be able to make investments, right? If you're living, you know, sort of paycheck to paycheck, it makes it more difficult to make investments, to put money away just in case a rainy day were to come or to fix the roof or to, you know, fix a flat tire in a car. And I wish the city were in a stronger position to be able to do that. But some of the things that I had been interested in doing before even going to Madison was making investments, again, in our public safety apparatus in the city of Milwaukee. And so we've been doing that under my leadership as mayor. So, for instance, in the budget that I proposed for this year, for 2024, the budget I proposed has enough funding for three police classes in the Milwaukee Police Department. That's the maximum number of classes that we're able to produce out of our police academy. That same budget has enough funding to support 65 recruits per class, which is the maximum number of recruits that we're able to produce in a class at the Milwaukee Police Academy. So we're making those investments. We've also seen, because of these funds coming down, or coming down soon, rather, the opportunity to make investments and reopen and recommission firehouses that previously were shuttered, right? So down in the Garden District on the south side, we've opened a new firehouse on the north side in the Garden Homes neighborhood. We added some medical services at the fire department station that's there, too. So we're making these investments in our public safety apparatus in Milwaukee, which is really, really important. I mean, that's the number one issue that folks in Milwaukee are concerned about, which is public safety.
Another issue a lot of Milwaukeeans have been very concerned about, and it does actually speak to public safety, is reckless driving. Mm-hmm. I think all of us have dealt with it in one way or another. Road diets have become increasingly common in Milwaukee during your time here. That's where roads are given a variety of things like bike lanes, protected parking, and bump outs in hope that it'll slow down drivers. A preliminary study, suggests that they've been effective. Mm-hmm. But many of these diets have been done through things like, you know, painted lines and these mm-hmm. kinds of temporary cones and things. Are there plans to make more permanent changes to the roads in Milwaukee?
Yeah, that's a great question, and one that I'm happy to address. So the answer is yes, and in some respects, since I've been mayor and have declared reckless driving on day number one in that office, as acting mayor even, I declared reckless driving a public safety crisis in Milwaukee and corralled all of government to find solutions to address the issue. So, yes, there are some temporary fixes that are out there right now in anticipation for things that will be more permanent down the line. Now, it's quick and it's easy but effective to have some of these temporary, paint and posts things that are out there on the streets to stop people from driving in a particular area to let folks know what may be coming. It's more expensive to actually pour the concrete and do the engineering and possibly move some utilities in order to make some of these infrastructure projects work. However, we have made a significant change to the roadways in Milwaukee with actual physical changes, actual concrete that has been poured. So when you talk about protected bike lanes, which in my State of the City address back in 2023, I said by 2026, I'd like to have 50 miles of protected bike lanes either completed or in the works to be done. And we're well on the way to in order to get that done, because I believe that paint itself does not protect. Right. So we have to do a job of signaling that, you know, these changes are coming, and hopefully get people to change some of their behaviors by having paint and posts. But then ultimately, at the end of the day, the best solution is to have the full engineering change, and that requires concrete to be poured. That requires our pinned-on curb extensions, which we've seen a lot of in Milwaukee in my time as mayor. It requires us to build out this protected bikeway network. That'll be a citywide network that I am really, really proud of because it presents an opportunity for young, talented, educated people who are very mobile and fall in love with a city before they select to choose a job in that location. If you're building that people-centered infrastructure, that makes Milwaukee a more attractive place for them, especially as we look to grow the city. But then it also provides an avenue for kids who live in the neighborhoods that I lived in growing up. When I was a kid, well, we rode our bikes forever. As an adult, I don't even remember like how far we went. I can't even recognize the neighborhood that we went to. We just rode so far. And I think about last year, this young man who was riding his bike over on Fond du Lac Avenue and unfortunately was hit by somebody driving recklessly. Well, kids in the neighborhoods deserve to ride their bikes and to do so safely as well. And so we're building this infrastructure for them as well, tier two.
Now, you mentioned a bit of this, but one of the things you've been really passionate about is attracting people to the city of Milwaukee. You, in fact, I believe, have a goal of growing the city to 1 million people.
Yes.
That number is very ambitious. Mm-hmm. What are some of the steps that you've taken to attract people to the city? You, of course, said road diets are part of that. What are some of the other things?
Yes. So our investment in infrastructure and people-centered infrastructure in Milwaukee is a key part of that. Another thing that I think is really important is making sure that folks have access to good-paying and family-supporting jobs. I mean, that's good for people. You can't get to 1 million if you're losing people who are here, too. Right? It's not just attracting people. It's also making sure that we retain people as well here, too. And so I want to make sure that we're building and growing good-paying, family-supporting jobs here to retain our talented individuals who live in the city, to attract other high-skilled, educated individuals who would come to Milwaukee with jobs at places like Pfizer, for instance, or Milwaukee Tool, for instance, and places like that. But also, as the city grows and buildings have to be erected for people to live in, whether they're luxury apartments or whether they're affordable housing elsewhere in the city, too, that presents an opportunity for folks in the union construction trades, which manufacturing may not be what it once was. Now, we have a significant number of manufacturing jobs here and in the region. I think we're number two per capita in manufacturing, which is great, and I support those jobs and would be eager to have more of those jobs here. But the fact of the matter is that it's not what it was decades and decades ago, but there still is a fantastic opportunity for individuals in Milwaukee to have access to a good-paying, family-supporting career in the union construction trade. So as we build the city, we create more job opportunities for folks who are here and may not have high-level degrees, but are still looking for work. So it's our infrastructure changes. It's making sure that folks have access to good-paying work. It's recognizing Milwaukee's past in terms of being a city that was open to immigrants. When you look at Milwaukee's past, we used to be one of the most immigrant-heavy cities in the United States. Once upon a time, Milwaukee was the 11th largest city in the country, and a large part of that was driven by the growth that we saw from folks who were coming to the United States for the first time. So immigration has to play a key role in that. In fact, our population numbers were buoyed by the fact that we saw a lot of immigration coming to Milwaukee over the course of the last decade or so. So it's those things. It's public safety and making sure that folks not just, think that they're safe, but that they actually feel safe in their neighborhoods. That goes to the point that I was making earlier about making more investments in police and in fire, and not just in police and fire. They play an incredible role, certainly, but they're not the only things. It's working with nonprofit organizations, working with youth-serving organizations, making sure that kids have access to youth job opportunities, like our Summer Youth Jobs Program, Earn and Learn, or our Camp Rise program that provides an alternative to kids who might get sucked up in this sort of bad scenario where they're out, you know, stealing cars or things like that. It provides an alternative to things like that. It's making sure kids have access to the Boys and Girls Club and to the United Neighborhood Centers of Milwaukee and the programming there, or the YMCA, like I was involved in when I was a kid growing up. It's all these things together and more that'll help us to grow the city.
Now, as you look back at your shorter term in office, what were your biggest regrets? What were you not able to do?
My biggest regrets in the two-year term? Well, you know, in the two-year term, I mean, I'm sure I could find a regret or several regrets. I mean, hindsight is always 20/20. My principal goal in the short term, the half term that I served, was to make sure that we did not have a city that fell off of a fiscal cliff. After decades and decades of approaching it, it just so happened to be that as soon as I assumed the office of mayor, that we were actually then up against the wall and were going to fall off the cliff. And those negative things that I talked about would have happened on January 1 of this year had we not acted. So that was my big push, my big lift over that time. And I'm happy to say that we got it done. We accomplished that goal that had been elusive for so many years, so many decades, as a matter of fact. And so when I went to the Common Council and I presented my 2024 budget in September of 2023, I remember telling council members that I was not introducing a budget that cut the police. I was not introducing a budget that cut the fire department. I was not introducing a budget that eliminated library service. I was not introducing a budget that eliminated these hundreds of other positions in the city service. So I feel really, really good about that. Certainly, there are other areas, again, on public safety, for instance, as a regret. Now, this is not an area that I control with guns, again, but I would like to see us have just some common sense approaches to gun law in the state of Wisconsin that ultimately would have a positive effect on public safety overall in the city of Milwaukee, right? So, for instance, I think that there is an opportunity to work in a bipartisan way with Republicans in Madison to address this issue of people coming into the city of Milwaukee and they've got their guns in their car and the guns are not secured. And we know that there is a market out there, people who go and break into those cars, not to steal the money, but to steal the guns, and then to steal those guns and commit crimes and hurt people and kill people in other parts of the city. So since we know these things are at play, since we know this recipe is happening, why don't we have some bipartisan legislation that comes down that says that, hey, if you are a gun owner, and I know that gun owners, responsible gun owners, you know, they take that seriously. They want to be responsible. Well, let's make sure if you're bringing your gun into the city that it's properly locked up. Like you have it in a lockbox, you have a gun lock on it, whatever the case may be, make sure your gun is secured. That's your responsibility. And if you don't do that, then there's a penalty on that. And for the people who are committing the actual crime of stealing the gun for other criminal purposes, then we should increase penalties on people who are doing that so that there's more accountability. That's a thing that I wish we were able to get done in this last term. We weren't able to do that, but something that I'd like to continue pushing with the legislature.
Well, that's really my last question. How are you going to take that regret and make change in this next term?
Yeah, well, you know, again, it's not an area that I control, but I do have a voice. I do have a megaphone. I said I had a cot in the Capitol in order to get the increased revenues for the city done. That's exactly what we were able to do. And so I'll continue to be an advocate for the city in our state capitol and in Washington, D.C. as well, working to make sure we move the ball on this issue of public safety. I mean, too many people, let me think about it. You know, too many people get hurt, too many people get killed because we as a society are allowing people who should not have their hands on a gun in the first place to have so easy access to them. If we stop that, I mean, just imagine how many lives we could save. Just imagine how many lives would not be altered because they hadn't been shot by somebody who had not had their hands on a gun in the first place. So those are the areas that I want to focus on and more in the legislature when they get back into session. Of course, they're out now for their own elections. But when they come back into office next year, these are areas that I want to work on.
Now, I realized I lied to you just a bit. I'm not sure that this will make it to air. In fact, I don't think it will make it to air, but I have a feeling my husband is going to kill me if I do not ask you about this.
Okay.
So, this is a very niche question.
Okay.
If you've been tagged in Instagram posts lately asking why Milwaukee does not have an NHL team, that is my lovely husband. Is there any plan to get an NHL team for the city of Milwaukee?
Well, that's above my pay grade, but so let me tell you about Instagram. So I have an incredible staff that monitors and makes postings on my social media pages, whether it's Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. One is actually, in the studio with me here, Maya Hutchinson, who does a great job doing that. I have my own at Cavalier Johnson Twitter handle, so typically you'll see me like actually making posts there. I can tell you this, that when the Blackhawks played here at Pfizer, was it a year or two ago? Like, it was a jam-packed arena. Like, there was really an appetite for that, it seems like, here in Milwaukee. But I have no news to break as to whether or not there's going to be an NHL team in Milwaukee. But I would imagine this, though, with a growing population in the city, I think it makes all the more sense to have something like that. I mean, you see what's happening with the Iron District and bringing in professional soccer here outside of the Milwaukee Wave. So never say never, but I just don't have an update right now.
Fair enough. Well, Mayor Johnson, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect, and good luck for your first full term.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. We are good to go.
That was Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson speaking with Lake Effect's Joy Powers ahead of today's inauguration. This interview was edited for Time, and you can find the full, unedited version at wuwm.com.